Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Chaf He. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Yaniv Hasun in honor of the rabbi. Today's daf also is being studied by Eidu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Today's daf is being learnt also by Eidu Nishmat Hadas Bat Yehudit. Ruach Hashem Tanihen Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is also being learnt L'Fuah Shelema Yosef Ben Esther. We are going to begin on Daf Chav Dalid Amud Bet. Actually four lines from the bottom. What the Gemara is doing over here is looking for a source. How do you know that you cannot burn Teruma Teme'ah on Yom Tov? One of the cases in our Mishnah was En Madlikim B'Shemen Serefa B'Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to use Shemen that's called Shemen Serefa as a fuel to light the candles on Yom Tov. So the Gemara said, what is Shemen Serefa? So it says, Shemen that is destined to be burned. What is a Shemen that is destined to be burned? So it was Shemen of Teruma that became Teme'ah, and therefore the Torah says you have to burn it. So the question of the Gemara is, fine, you have to burn it. How do you know that you're not allowed to burn it on Yom Tov? That's the question. So the Gemara originally brought Tana de Behaskiya, that brought a proof from Notu Tidu Imenu Ad Boker, brought a Pasuk. Then the Gemara brought a second opinion of Abaye, a Pasuk Olat Shabbat Beshabbato. Now the Gemara brings the third source of how do you know that you can't burn Terumat Teme'ah on Yom Tov. And that is in the name of Rava. Rava Amar, Amar Kera, Hu Lebado Yaseh Lachem. We know on Yom Tov it is permissible to do melachot that are surrounded to ochel nefesh, which means things that are involved with, let's say, cooking. So the Pasuk says, Hu Lebado Yaseh Lachem. Those are the only things that you're allowed to do. Cooking-related melachot. So, Rashi says, Hu lebado, kera'e yetere ninhu. This pasuk is actually extra. Dematzeh lemechtav, because the pasuk could have said, Ach asher ya'achel lechon nefesh ya'aseh lachem. It just could have said that things that are nogeya to ochel nefesh ya'aseh lachem. What does the pasuk mean? Hu lebado. What is the pasuk coming to exclude? This only you shall do. The hu lebado is extra. So the Gemara is going to make a derasha on these pasuk, on these extra words. Hu velo makshirin. The Torah says hu, it's coming to exclude the makshirin, which means the preparatory melachot for cooking. What's a preparatory melachot? As she says, kegon na'asot shfud. In order to, let's say, make a skewer where you're going to put the meat on, v'sakin, or to make a knife, or tanur v'kiraim, or to build the oven, that's not considered ochel nefesh. That's called mechshire ochel nefesh, because that's one step removed from cooking. Here you're preparing the knife in order to go, cut the food and make the food, or you're preparing the oven in order to cook the food. So the Torah says, no. Who? Only food directly you're allowed to be involved in, but not makshirin, not the preparations of food, which is a step before. That's what the who comes and excludes. Lebado, lebado means alone, meaning this alone. What is lebado coming to exclude? Lebado, velo mila shelo bezmana. Mila, Brit Mila, is normally on the eighth day. That's called Mila Bizmana, Mila in its time. But for whatever reason, let's say that one cannot have done the Brit Mila, one did not do the Brit Mila on the eighth day. Let's say the baby was sick. So therefore they have to push the Mila off. After the eighth day, it's called Mila Shelo Bizmana. It's a Mila out of its time. So the Gemara tells us that Milah Shelo Bezmana is asur to perform on Yom Tov. Now, even though we know you can perform a Milah Bezmana even on Shabbat. If it's eighth day, you do it on Shabbat, or the more so Yom Tov. But the Gemara is telling us, Lebedo, only this type of Milah, when it comes to food, you can be lenient on Yom Tov. But a Milah that's out of its time, that type of melacha you will not be allowed to do on Yom Tov. So that's the Pesukim. Who? Lebado. Who excludes Makhshirin? And Lebado excludes Mila Shelo Bezmana. So the Gemara says, De'atya Bekal Vahomer. Because had it not been for this Pesuk, I would have said, Mila Shelo Bezmana is Mutar on Yom Tov. So this Pesuk is necessary. Because without this Pesuk, I have a Kal Vahomer to tell me Mila Shelo Bezmana is Mutar. What would have been the Kal Vahomer had I not had this Pasuk to tell me otherwise? So Rashi tells it to us. Let's read it in Rashi together. Rashi Dibura Matril Lebado Lemeute Mila Shelo Bezmana. It's coming to exclude the Mila Shelo Bezmana. Delo Dahya Shabbat Biyom Tov. That it does not push away Shabbat and Yom Tov. De'ilo mi'atekra. Because if I had not had a pasuk to exclude it, atya bekal vachomer, I would have learned that it's permissible from a kal vachomer, which is what? Da'achitan ya'atam. Because we have a braita later on. It says, umat sara'at shedoche et avoda. Now let's build up this kal vachomer. Tzara'at is somebody that has leprosy. Somebody that has leprosy is not allowed to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara said, Tzara'at doche avodah. Which means, avodah is service in the Beit HaMikdash. If a person has leprosy, it pushes away avodah. Meaning, tzara'at is strong in the sense that what? That if somebody has it, they cannot serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Va'avodah doche et ha-shabbat. And we know avodah pushes away Shabbat. Meaning, a Kohen works on Shabbat. Meaning he's allowed to sacrifice Korbanot and do different melachot. So we see Avodah is stronger than Shabbat. Mila shelo bizmana doche ota. And still we know that what? Let's say a child has tzara'at. And he has a sara'at by his brit milah. So now the Torah does tell us, really you're not allowed to cut off tzara'at. You have to let it heal. You cannot cut off a tzara'at. But now you have a dilemma, because it's on the brit milah. So the deen is that a brit milah overrides tzara'at. Which means you do the brit milah, even though by doing the brit milah you're going to inevitably cut off the tzara'at. So therefore, now we know already that even a milah shelo bezmana, any type of milah, pushes away tzara'at. Which tzara'at we know pushes away avodah, which pushes away Shabbat. So then the Gemara says, "Da'ki tanya atam milah duchet absurdi nashi. Da'ki tanya atam milah duchet atzara'at ben bezmana ben shelo bezmana. V'yalif la'mikra. We learn it from pesukim. Shabbat." So now we make the kavah homer. Shabbat shenidchit mepnei avodah. Shabbat already, which is nidchit, that we push away Shabbat for avodah. Enodin shetem milah shelo bezmana doche ota. Or the more so, milah shelo bezmana is going to push away the Shabbat. So therefore we made a kavah homer. Let's repeat the kavah homer in its steps. We have tzara'at. Tzara'at pushes away avodah. And avodah pushes away Shabbat. And we know that Mila Shelo Bezmana pushes away Tzara'at. So all the more so, Mila Shelo Bezmana should push away Shabbat and Yom Tov. That's just the following the what's greater. So comes the Pasuk and says, even though we would have had that Kal Vachomer, no, Lebado. Lebado says, it doesn't. Don't make the Kal Vachomer. Good. So now we prove that Mila Shelo Bezmana is not Docha Yom Tov. What does that got to do with us? So that she, in the last line, says, or two lines from the bottom, Umimela Shama'inan Mine, we learn, the mitzvah she'en zmana kavua, that a mitzvah, that it's not in the right time, v'yachol la'asotah le'mahad, you can do it the next day, Mila Shelo Bezmana is not its time. It's not necessarily needed to be done today. Milah Shalom they can do the next day. So if Milah Shalom Bezmanah doesn't push away Yom Tov, Terumah Teme'ah, that does not have to be burnt today either. Terumah Teme'ah can be burnt tomorrow. So therefore, just like you don't do Milah Shalom Bezmanah on Yom Tov, you don't burn Terumah Teme'ah. What's the connection again? Again, Milah Shalom Bezmanah. Does it have to be done on Yom Tov? No, it's Shalom Bezmanah already. It's out of its time already. So do it tomorrow. So that's what the Torah is telling you. Don't do it today. Why? Because it's not its time. Terumah Teme'ah. Does it have to be burnt today? No, there's no deen that has to be burnt on that day. It has to be burnt. So therefore, burn it the next day. So that will be the third source to teach us that Milah Shalom Bezmanah is not Doche. I'm sorry, that Terumah Teme'ah is not Doche, it's Serefa, it's not Doche, Yom Tov. Who lebado? Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi, the fourth answer, Shabbaton Aseh. The Torah says by Yom Tov, Shabbaton. What does Shabbaton mean? Shivot, meaning rest, stop, cessate, do not do melacha. So therefore we have a positive commandment on Yom Tov that tells us, Shivot, you must cessate from working. And we also have a negative commandment by Yom Tov, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. So we have an aseh and a lo ta'aseh. A positive commandment that says, Tishbot, or Shabbaton. And a negative commandment that says what? Lo ta'aseh. Melacha. So the Gemara says, Shabbaton ase. Vahavile Yom Tov ase velo ta'ase. Comes out that Yom Tov is a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Ve'en ase doche et lo ta'ase ve'ase. We have a positive commandment that says what? Ba'esh tisrofu. Burn terumah teme'ah. So normally the rule would be, ase doche lo ta'ase. If you have a positive commandment and a negative commandment, you have a positive commandment, burn terumah, teme'ah. You have a negative commandment, don't do work on Yom Tov. Which one outweighs which? The aseh usually pushes away the lo ta'aseh. That's a rule. Aseh, do'e, lo ta'aseh. So if it was just that rule alone, we would be able to burn terumah teme'ah on Yom Tov. Because the aseh of burning pushes away the lo ta'aseh of menachah. But Rav Ashi says Yom Tov is not only a lo ta'aseh, it's an aseh also. Of what? Shabbaton. And the rule is, en aseh doche lo ta'aseh ve'aseh. Which means when you have a lo ta'aseh and an aseh, you do not push it away in the face of a aseh. So therefore the aseh of ba'esh tisrofu of terumah teme'ah is not going to push away the lo ta'aseh plus the aseh of Shabbaton of Yom Tov. So that's Rav Asher's rule. It's a Shas principle of En Aseh Dochei Lo Ta'aseh. So that would be the fourth proof that you cannot burn Terumah Teme'ah on Yom Tov, and therefore En Madlikim B'Shemin Serefa B'Yom Tov. So comes the Gemara and says, B'Yom Tov Hu De'Asir. So you tell me you can't burn terumah teme'ah on Yom Tov. Ha bechol shapir dame. But it sounds like during the week it'll be okay. Which means you're allowed to burn the terumah teme'ah and benefit from it. On Yom Tov, the reason is because of insurfin kadashim b'Yom Tov. And all the reasons that we brought. But during the week, let's say Tuesday night, the guy wants to burn his terumah teme'ah and simultaneously use it as light. He wants to benefit, or it's a cold night and he wants to burn his terumah teme'ah and use it as heat. From the Gemara, it's permissible. What's the hidush? That you're allowed to have benefit from the burning of terumah teme'ah, even though it's Kodesh. So the question of the Gemara is, Mai ta'ama? What's the reason? Which means, where do we see that it's permissible to benefit from terumah teme'ah when you're burning it? Because the only time you're telling me you can't burn terumah teme'ah is when? On Yom Tov. But during the week, it's permissible for me to burn it and use it. Meaning use it as light, use it as heat. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav said, Kishem shemitzvah litzrof hakodeshim shenitmeu, just like there's a mitzvah to burn
let's say, korbanot that became tameh. So there's also a mitzvah to burn terumah that became tameh. Ve'amra Torah, the Torah Torahs, b'sha'at bi'ura tihaneh mimena. And Rav taught us that the Torah clearly writes that at the time that you're burning the terumah tameh, you're able to benefit from it. Now, Rav did not tell us what the pasuk was. He just told us there's a pasuk out there that's going to tell you that when you burn terumah tameh, you're allowed to benefit from it. Well, what's that pasuk? So the Gemara says, Hechan amra Torah. Where did the Torah tell us this? Midirav Nachman. Rav Nachman brings the source. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Abu, Amar Kira. The pasuk says, "Va'ani hine natati lecha et mishmeret terumotai." The Torah says, "And behold, I have given to you natati lecha. I have given to you, meaning to the Kohanim, et mishmeret terumotai, which means my terumot. Terumotai is plural." God is telling the Kohanim, I have given you terumotai. Two terumot. So the Gemara says, Bishte terumot katu medaber. The pasuk must be referring to what? Two types of terumot. Ahad terumat tehora, v'ahad terumat teme'ah. One must be talking about terumat tehora, and the other terumah is talking about terumat teme'ah. Ve'amar rahmana lecha. And the Torah says, Natati lecha, I have given it to you. Shelecha tehe. It'll belong to you, meaning to use it. La'asika ta'at tafshilcha. Even to use it as fuel under your food. Which means you can use it as a fuel to cook your food with. Which means you can benefit from terumah teme'ah while you're burning it. Again, what's the raya? The pasuk says, Vani hine natati lecha. If I say I'm giving you something, I'm giving it to you to use. And what is God saying you could use? Two terumot. Well, terumat tehora, for sure the Kohen could use. Terumat tehora, the Kohen's not to eat it. That's the biggest pleasure. But terumat teme'ah, they were saying that tati lecha. I'm giving you that also. What can you do with terumat teme'ah? I can't eat it. I'll burn it. But at the time of the burning, benefit from it. How? Put it under your, put it in your oven, or in your stove, and cook with it. So comes the Gemara and says, V'ibayet ema. We could bring another proof that how do you know terumat teme'ah, you can benefit from it at the time of burning. Mid Rabbi Abhu. From Rabbi Abhu's time. Amar Rabbi Abhu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Velo bi'arti mimenu betameh. This is talking about the story of Vidui Maaser. A person must make a confession in the Beit HaMikdash that he did right by his maaser. We know that, let's say, in the first, in the second, in the fourth, in the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, let's say, a person is obligated to give what's called maaser sheni. Maaser sheni is 10% of his food. He must bring it up to Yerushalayim, eat it there. He has to be tahor, of course. The maaser must be tahor as well. He cannot eat it if he's tameh, or he cannot eat it if the maaser became tameh. So part of the confession that he has to make, that he, you know, full disclosure, that he gave all his maasrot the proper way, he says, he must say, velo bi'arti mimenu betameh. I did not consume the maaser sheni betameh. When either I was tameh or it was tameh. Meaning he has to say, I consumed the maaser sheni properly, betahara. But the pasuk writes, lo bi'arti mimenu, from it. So now already the Gemara is going to make a derasha from the word mimenu, because it sounds like it's an exclusionary word. Which means, from it I did not benefit. Consume bi'arti would mean, I did not eat, I did not derive pleasure from it, implying that from this I did not derive pleasure from it if it became tameh, implying something else if it became tameh, you're allowed to derive pleasure. Again, let's get to the derasha. The fellow's confession is what? V'lo bi'arti mimenu, I did not derive pleasure from it. When it was tameh, implying, yes, from this you cannot derive pleasure, from maaser sheni, but something else
You can. So the Gemara says, Mimenu iyatam mav'ir. From it, from Ma'asir Sheni, you know how to consume, meaning derive pleasure. Aval ata mav'ir shemen shel teruma shenit met. But the implication would be, but something else, and what is that something else? Shemen of teruma that became tameh, you can have pleasure from it if it became tameh. Now, of course, you can't eat it, but you'll be able to burn it and you pleasure, like we said. So the Gemara says, wait, who told you that the exclusion is to teruma tameah? How did you know? We know it's excluding something. Maybe it's excluding kodashim.
Ve'ema mimenu iyata mav'ir, aval ata mav'ir shemen shel kodesh shenitma.
There's a higher level, which is called kodesh. Kodesh would be like something you put on the mizbeach. Teruma you don't put on the mizbeach. Kodesh is on the mizbeach. Like shemen, let's say, like the oil of a mincha, that you put it with the meal offering and it goes on the mizbeach. So how do you know to tell me that the pasuk is coming to exclude shemen shel teruma shenitmet? Maybe it's coming to exclude shemen shel kodesh shenitmet. And the pasuk is something like this: mimenu maaser sheni you cannot benefit betumah. However, shemen shel kodesh shenitmet you can. Who told you to exclude teruma teme'ah? Maybe it's coming to exclude kodesh shenitmet. So comes the Gemara and says, lav kal vachomeru. What do you mean? It's a kal vachomer I could make, and I could say the following: ma maaser akal. Amra Torah lo bi'arti mimenu betameh kodesh hamur lo kol sheken. So what do you mean? How could the basuk coming to me exclude kodesh? If maaser sheni, which is obviously lighter, maaser sheni is much more lenient than kodesh, and still maaser sheni, it's saying you cannot benefit when it's tameh. Kodesh, which is more stringent, all the more so you should not be able to benefit bitumah. So how could you tell me the pasuk is coming to tell me kodesh? Kal vachomer tells me obviously not like that. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You're working with kal vachomers?
Iacheh teruma nameh lema kal vachomer hu.
Teruma also I can make the same kal vachomer. What's more stringent, maaser sheni or teruma? Teruma. So I can say the same kal vachomer. If maaser sheni, which is lenient, and still I cannot benefit bituma, kal vachomer teruma, which is more strict, I should not be able to benefit betumah.
So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Haketiv mimenu.
Yeah, but what do you mean? It says mimenu. Mimenu is coming to exclude something.
So the Gemara says, umaraita.
Literally, maraita means, what did you see? Which means, what's happening at this point is like this. We all agree the word mimenu is exclusionary. It's either coming to exclude teruma teme'ah or kodesh. So the Gemara says, no. It can't be coming to exclude kodesh shenit me'ah that you can have hana'ah, because I have a kal vachomer. If ma'aser sheni you can't benefit b'tumah, kal vachomer shemin shenit me'ah of kodesh, kal vachomer. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. But coming to exclude terumah? Terumah have the same kal vachomer. And what? Ma'aser sheni hakal. I cannot benefit b'tumah, kal vachomer terumah shenit me'ah, I should not be able to benefit. So the Gemara says now, well, it says mimenu. It's got to be excluding something. You can't say it's not excluding anything. It's got to be excluding kodesh or teruma. So I'll exclude teruma. So the Gemara says umaraita, which means what did you see to exclude teruma over kodesh? I mean, both are questionable. Which means both can be learned the opposite way from a kal vachomer. So you had a choice now. We all agree mimenu's got to be excluding something. No, you didn't want to exclude kodesh. Why? You have a kal vachomer the other way. So you exclude teruma. But you also have a kal vachomer. So they're maraita. What did you see fit to exclude teruma over kodesh?
So the Gemara says, Mistavra kodesh lo mima'atina.
It makes sense that kodesh, it's not coming to exclude. Why?
Sheken siman fanak akas.
Because kodesh has six stringencies to it. Rashet Tevot, Panak, Akas. And what are those six? The Gemara speaks them out. Pigul is one. What is pigul?
So that she tells us, pigul means when you slaughter a korban, and the intent at the time that you slaughtered the korban, the fellow had was that he's going to eat from this meat out of its time. Normally a korban has a limited amount of time. Let's say you have 2 days. So at the time of the shechita, the guy in his mind said, you know what, I'm going to eat this korban a week from now. Even if he ate it within the right time. That mahshava of eating it out of its time is called pigul. That renders the korban pasul. So that's one stringency that we see by kodesh. It's subject to the law of pigul. That's a mahshava that the shochet has at the time of the shechita. Pigul. Notar. What is notar? Notar means you actually left it over out of its time. Which means, at the time of the shechita, your kavanah was, I'm going to eat it within the 2 days. And then what happened? You just left it over. And now you ate it outside of its time. That's called notar. The korban becomes pasul, obviously, after a certain time span. Third humrah, korban. What does that mean? It's called a korban. That's already in name. It has already a higher status. A korban is sacrificed on the mizbeach. So it's already a stringency. Me'ila means if somebody benefits and uses the korban for personal use, he's subject to the law of Me'ilah. Me'ilah means using Kodesh for personal usage. Now that she gives us the details of how Me'ilah works by Korbanot. So he says, for example, let's say by a Korban Hatat, which would be, let's say, the highest level of Kodesh. It's called Kodesh Kodashim. Before one sprinkles the blood, if the Kohen, let's say, benefited from the meat of the animal, he would be subject to the laws of Me'ilah. Also, let's say a Korban Shelamim, which is a lesser level of Kodesh, after you sprinkle the blood, as she says, the laws of Me'ilah are applicable until you bring the meat on the Mizbeah. But the laws of Terumah, for example, are not subject to Me'ilah. So therefore, that's another stringency, that Kodesh is subject to Me'ilah. What's the next one? Vekaret. What is Karet? Bar Minnan. If somebody eats Kodesh, Betumah, if somebody eats Kodesh, if he's Tameh or it's Tameh, so he gets Karet. What is Karet? So according to the Tosafot, it either means he dies by the age of 50, or he dies by the age of 60, it's a Mahloket, and he loses his children, Bar Minnan. That's called Ariri. Ariri means he goes without children. Tosafot does point out that it's only talking about his small children, because they get punished for the sins of the father. So karet is a double punishment. It's shortened life and loss of children. That happens by kodesh. If somebody eats kodesh tameh, he gets karet. And the sixth one is asur le'onen. An onen is somebody that lost one of the seven relatives. Before the burial, he's called an onen. At that stage, he's not allowed to eat kodesh. If he's a Kohen, let's say, he's not allowed to eat from the Korbanot. So, let's review the six. Rashi Tevot, Panak, Akas. Pigul, that's eating it, that's making Shechita with the wrong Kavanah, you can eat it out of its time. Notar, you actually left it over. Korban, it goes on the Mizbeah. Me'ilah, it's subject to the laws of Me'ilah, you cannot benefit from it. Karet, if you eat it betameh. And Asur Le'onen. So there were sins. Kadashim had these six stringencies, so therefore I'm not going to minimize that from the pasuk of Maaser. I'm going to keep the stringency of also that what? That when you get rid of it, if it's let's say Kadashim that became Tameh, you will not be able to benefit from it. Why won't I say, oh, maybe Mimenu is coming to exclude it? No, Kadashim is very stringent. Look, it has all these Chumrot over here. So therefore I chose not to exclude Kadashim, that is strict. So I opted to exclude Terumah, which is less strict. So the Gemara says, wait, Adrabah, on the contrary, Terumah lo mima'atina, sheken mahpaz siman.
What do you mean? You have stringencies also by Tiruma. What are the stringencies? Siman Mahtaz. What is that? Number one, Mita. What is Mita? So, Bar Minan, if somebody eats the Tiruma and he's Tameh, eating Tiruma Tameh is subject to Mita. But what does Mita mean? Mita Bide Shamayim. Which means God takes care of this person, shortening of life. Not necessarily before 50 or 60 like Karet, but it's a Mita Bide Shamayim nonetheless. Second law, Chomesh. What is Chomesh? If let's say a non-Kohen eats Tiruma B'Shogeg by mistake, the Lord has to now compensate the Kohen. He has to pay back principal, plus they add a chomesh. They add a fifth penalty. What's the next one? Ve'en la pidyon. Tiruma, you cannot make a pidyon on it, which means once Tiruma is Kodesh, it's holy Tiruma, right? You cannot transfer the Kiddushat to something else. It's Kodesh, it's finished, which means it's not like a Korban. A Korban, let's say, is subject to pinyon. For example, let's say you have an animal, you designated it for a Korban, before you actually slaughtered it, it became blemished. It became a Baal Mum. The Torah clearly says you can transfer the Kiddushah of that Korban that became Baal Mum to a different animal, and the first Korban goes to Holin. So therefore you see, Teruma has a stringency that what? It's not subject to pinyon. It stays Kodesh. And the last one, the Asura Lizarim, which means Teruma can never be eaten by a non-Kohen. Never. Korbanot, however, in some cases can be eaten by non-Kohens. For example, as she says, a Korban Todah. Who eats it? The owners eat it, even though it's a Korban. Korban Shelamim. Korban Shelamim, the owners, even though they're Yisraelim, they're able to eat it. So therefore the Gemara is older. You're looking for stringencies? Terumah's got mahpaz. Let's review the mahpaz again. Mahpaz simad mita, meaning mita bide shamayim. If somebody eats it bituma, chomesh, if Yisrael eats teruma bishogeg, he has to bring an extra fifth. En la pidyon, mahpaz, pe, pidyon, en la pidyon, there's no pidyon, you cannot redeem it. It's teruma stays kodesh forever. La surah li zarim, mahpaz, zarim, meaning a stranger, a Yisrael, can never eat Tiruma. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Why are you minimizing Tiruma? I mean, you tell me the reason why you don't want to exclude Kodesh, because it's got panakakas. So this has mahpaz. Tiruma has also got stringencies. So the Gemara says, wait. Hanach nefishan. Simple answer. Kodesh is more. Which is Kodesh, you have six stringencies. Tiruma, you only have four stringencies. So therefore, if it's a choice between excluding one and being lenient on one of the two, I'm being lenient by Tiruma, that's only got the four stringencies. You give another answer. Kodesh Hamur. Kodesh is Hamur automatically. Why? Sheken Anosh Karet. Finished. Once already we see the punishment of Kodesh, that if somebody eats Kodesh Bituma, he's subject to the punishment of Karet, which is premature death plus losing his children. But we see by Tiruma, if somebody eats a Bituma, it's Mitabi de Shamayim. So the Karet factor outweighs Kodesh, and therefore if I have to be lenient on one of the two, I'm going to be lenient on what? Tiruma. And therefore, according to this answer, the answer would be, how do you know Tiruma Teme'a? That at the time of burning it, you could benefit from it. From the Pasuk of Maaser Sheni. Pasuk of Maaser Sheni said, Velo bi'arti mimenu betameh. That I did not benefit from it when it became tameh. Mashma from it, but from something else I can benefit from its tameh. And what is that? I'm going to benefit from Tiruma. How come you're not going to benefit from Kodesh? Because Kodesh already is very strict. It either has six stringencies as opposed to the four stringencies of Tiruma, or because the punishment of Kodesh is Karet as opposed to the punishment of Tiruma. So I have to minimize one of the two. I'm going to minimize the more lenient one. And therefore, that's the source that Tiruma Temeh Ashenet Met is Mutar
Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said another answer. Amar Kera, Pasuk says, Titen Lo. Rashi, literally Titen Lo means give it to him. What's the beginning of the Pasuk? Reshit Deganecha Titen Lo. It says the first of your Dagan, which is Teruma, give it to the Kohen. So the Gemara makes it the Rasha. Titin lo, give it to him, velo leoro. But do not give it to his fire. What does that mean? Give the terumah to him and not to his fire? What the Torah is trying to tell you is, make sure when you give terumah to the Kohen, it's terumah tehora. Because when you give terumah tehora to the Kohen, it's being given to him. He could eat it. But if you give him terumah temeah, what is he going to have to do with it? Put it in the fire. So the pasuk says, "Titen lo, velo leoro." The Gemara makes a derasha. Give it to him and not to his fire. Actually, the Gemara learns a din from this. Let's say a person has terumat tehora in his silo, and he has terumat teme'ah. Or actually better, he has food stuff that are tahor and food stuff that are tameh. He has to give terumah now on all the stuff. Everything is subject to terumah. So the guy has an idea. He'll give the terumah from the tameh stuff. Let's say he owes, let's say, 2% of terumah. He'll take the 2% of the whole field, but he'll separate it from the tameh area and give it to the Kohen. The Torah says, no. You cannot separate terumah from the tameh stuff. Why? Because it says to ten law. You have to give it to the Kohen, mean that he's able to eat it for himself. Velo leoro. But we don't want you to give him something that he's going to end up having to put in his fire, implying that in another case, the Kohen would be allowed to put the terumah in his fire to benefit from it. Meaning, you can give him terumah tehora. But let's say the Kohen gets terumah tehora, and then it became tameh, yeah, then he can't put it in his fire. See, the only thing the Pasuk is excluding is you can't give him something to put in his fire. Implying what? That if, let's say, it became Tameh afterwards, you can put it in his fire, meaning, and he can benefit. So therefore, Titin lo, velo leoro. Mashma, that you can't give him Tirumat Tameh. However, if it became Tameh after, Titin leoro, meaning he can benefit from it in his fire. So how many proofs did we end up bringing over here for this concept that you can benefit from terumat teme'ah? Let's count them up. The first proof we brought was Va'ani hine natati lecha et mishmeret terumotai. Natati lecha terumotai is plural. Terumat tehora, terumat teme'ah. The pasuk says natati lecha, I gave it to you, the Kohen, to benefit. So you see the Kohen can benefit from terumah teme'ah. Second pasuk, Velo bi'arti mimenu betameh. Mimenu is ma'asir sheni. You cannot benefit from, but terumah you can. Third proof is of Nachman that said titen lo velo leoro. So bottom line, we have three proofs to teach us that terumah teme'ah, at the time of burning, you can benefit from it. That's why if you burn it during the week, you can be nehedeh. Comes the Gemara further. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael taught in the Mishnah. En madlikin be'itran. You're not allowed to use the fuel called itran. Why? Mipenei kevod ha-Shabbat. Out of the respect to Shabbat. So the Gemara says, my ta'ama. What's the reason? What's this kevod Shabbat? What's this reason over that you cannot use itran? Amar Rabbah. Mitok shereho ra. Because itran has a very bad smell to it when you burn it. Gezera sheme yanihenna v'yetze. We're worried that the guy might light the candles, and since the itran smells, he's going to end up walking out. So the Gemara is Amar le'abaye v'yetze. So let the guy walk out. What's this hadush over? Which means Abaye says you're obligated to light nerot. You lit the nerot. What do I care if he walks out now? What do we think? What's this gizrei might walk out?
So Amar Le, so he says, Sha'ani Omer Hadlakat Ner B'Shabbat Choba. Because I hold, says Rabbah, that the lighting of the Nerot Shabbat is mandatory. What does that mean? Abaye doesn't hold it's mandatory. It's a Beferush Mishnah later on in this Perek that says, Al Shalosh Devarim, Al Shoshah Devarim Nashim Metot B'Sha'at Ledatan. Al She'en Adzirot Banidah B'Halah B'Hadlakat Ner. Clearly the Gemara says later on that ladies during childbirth are in danger, and God forbid they can even die if they're not careful in the lighting of the candles. So what do you mean? That means it's mandatory. So therefore, what was this dialogue over here? It's a strange dialogue because Rava comes along and says the reason why you can't use etran is because it smelled, and he'll leave. He's going to walk out. Abaye says, let him walk out. Abbas, no, so I hold that it's mandatory. Abaye, you don't hold it's mandatory? So the explanation to Tosafot says that Rava holds it's not only mandatory to light the Nerot, but it's mandatory to sit by the Nerot and have the Se'udah. That's a new item. So that already Rava says, hey, if you're going to use Etran, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah. You know, he's going to have his Nerot in one room, he's going to walk into another room and eat somewhere else. That's not the mitzvah. So Abaye, no, what do you mean? What do I care? You lit the candles, you don't have to eat the Se'udah by then. Rava says, no, because I hold Hadlakat Ner Choba, as the way Tosfot says, in the Bura Matir Hadlakat, Perush Bimkom Se'udah De Choba. At the time of the Se'udah, it's a Choba. De Amar, we go further in the Gemara. Incidentally, Rashi says Choba. Kevod Shabbatu She'en Se'udah Hashuva Ela Bimkom Or. Which means it's the kavod of the Shabbat because to have a seudah by the light. So I once heard from my rabbi, may Elim be well, Hacham Baruch, that he explained what does it mean. It's the kavod to the Shabbat. Which means, yeah, we have to eat in the light. That's of course it's nice, but what is that the kavod of Shabbat? So he explained to the Baal Batim, he was trying to explain it to. So he said that when a person goes to a fancy restaurant, so they always put candles on the table. Now, even though those candles are not really for light, let's say there's other light, so what do the candles do to a seudah? It makes it more elegant, it makes it more hashuv, it makes it more important. So that's what it means when you put candles for Shabbat, it's for the kavod of the Shabbat, meaning it's just bringing this, but it's a certain class or elegance or level that it brings to the Shabbat. And therefore it has to be at the seudah, the time that you're eating. So comes the Gemara and says, the Amar of Nachman bar Rav Zavda. The Amri le Amar of Nachman bar Rava Amar Rav. Hadlakat ner b'Shabbat Choba. The lighting of the Nerot on Shabbat are mandatory. Choba, like we just said, Kebot Shabbatu. Rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim b'chamin. But let's say washing your hands and your legs in hot water, arbit, meaning an Erev Shabbat, reshut. That already is voluntary, which means it's mandatory to light the candles. But it's voluntary to take a hot bath, let's say, before Shabbat. Vani Omer, but Rabbi comes along and says, mitzvah. Meaning it's just as well a mitzvah to wash yourself Erev Shabbat with hot water. So it comes out, according to Rabbi, there's two obligations. Our obligation number one is, you gotta light. Obligation number two is wash be'erev Shabbat. So comes the Gemara and says, my mitzvah, where do you see this mitzvah that you have to wash with hot water? Where do we see this over here? What's the source? So comes the Gemara and says, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Kach haya minhago shel Rabbi Yehuda bar Eilai. This was the custom of Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Elai, one of the Tanaim. Erev Shabbat, mivim lo areva milea chamin. Erev Shabbat, they would bring him an areva, a bowl filled with hot water. Verochetz panav yadav v'raglav, and he would wash his face, his hands, and his legs. So you see already what this was one of the practices of the great rabbis. So we have to model and copy their behavior. So from the fact that you see the Yehuda ben Eilai bathed with hot water before Shabbat, here already you see that this must be the source. If he did it, must be that is a mitzvah. And therefore, one should follow the Hachamim. Comes the Gemara and says, after he would take his bath with hot water before Shabbat, what would he do? Umitatif. He would put on his cloak, atifah, like he would wrap himself in his cloak, v'yoshev, and he would sit besadinim hamtsuyatzin. He would sit wrapped up in embroidered cloths, v'dome lemalach Hashem sevaot, and he was like an angel, which means he looked like a malach Hashem accepting Shabbat with the cloak on after he took his hot shower, his hot bath. V'ayu talmidav mehabin mimenu kanfei kesutan, but his students, the B'Yudabri students, would appear in front of their rabbi, but they would cover the corners of their garments. They were wearing garments, and the garments had corners. Now normally if you have a cornered garment, you have to put on tzitzit. For some reason, which we'll see now, they stood in front of their rabbi, but hiding from him the corner of their garments. Amar lahem, so he says to them, Banai, my sons, that's how he referred to his students, my children. Lo kach shaniti lachem, didn't I teach you sadin besisit, regarding the law of a sadin, of a cloak or a cloth that a person is wearing, regarding the obligation of a four-cornered garment that has that, in regarding to a sisit, bechamai potrin, bechamai says it's exempt, ubetilel mehaybin, and betilel says hayav. Now what's the question over here? You have a four-cornered garment, why shouldn't it be obligated in tzitzit? So let's read Rashi. Rashi, besadin hamtsuyatzin. Sadinim shel pishtan. These sadinim over here were made out of linen. Ubahen tzitzit shel techelet. And the rabbi would place on his sadin a techelet string. Techelet is the blue string that they used to wear in the olden days. That blue string is made out of wool. Shatnez, you have the wool string with the linen garment. So that she brings down, Ela shemutar min haTorah. It's permissible. Why? Tedarshinan simuchim. Because we have two pesukim that are back to back to each other. Lo tilbash shatnez gidinim ta'aseh lecha. The Torah says, don't wear shatnez, but wear a four-cornered garment, which means put strings on your garment. So the rabbis say, oh, what's the connection? Don't wear sha'atnez. But if you're going to do the mitzvah of tzitzit, you can wear sha'atnez. Means the garment could be linen, and you could place the wool tchelet on it. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Lehi was doing. So the students, they were wearing the linen garment, but they did not put the tchelet on it. And they were embarrassed because they knew, you know, maybe their rabbi's going to say something, so they would hide it, so he wouldn't see what they were doing. So it seems that Rabbi Yehuda figured it out. So he says, boys, my children, didn't I teach you already regarding the law of a linen garment with the tzitzit? That what? Bet Shammai says patur. Now why does Bet Shammai say patur? So Bet Shammai does not learn simuchin. Bet Shammai does not learn this derasha of lo tilbash sha'atnez gidinim ta'aseh lecha. He doesn't make that derasha. However, Bet Hillel does make the derasha. And therefore, he says, and I continue in the Gemara, v'halakha k'divrei Bet Hillel. And halakha follows Bet Hillel. So therefore, there's no reason you should put on the techelet. The inhu savi. So what did the student told? That the students didn't know that halakha follows Bet Hillel? That you're allowed to put on the techelet on the linen garment? So it says, v'inu sabri, what did they hold? Gezera mishum ksut laila. They made a gezera like this. A garment that's worn at night is exempt from sisit from the Torah. Why? Because the pasuk says, ur'item oto. Only garments that are worn at a time where you could see, which is in the day, they're obligated in tzitzit. However, garments that are worn at night are exempt. So, you're right, Bet Hillel says you're allowed to wear a linen garment and you're allowed to put the tekelet. The students knew that, but they made a gezerah. What was the gezerah? Rashi says, And I quote, V'inu savre talmidav shayu osrin savunihi dalaka kebetelel. Yes, dalaka is like betelel. V'chayavim de'oraita. And yes, you have to put the tekelet from the Torah. No problem. Mi'u derabanan gazur behu. But the rabbis made a gezerah. Mishun ksut la'la shem ayelo ksut shemiyuhad delelot. Maybe the guy's going to have, let's say, a garment that he designates that he wears at night. V'yatil bo sisit. And what's going to happen? He's going to put sisit on it. What type of sisit is he going to put on it? He's going to put on it, it's a linen garment with the wool strings. Now, since you're not obligated in sisit at night, now already it's going to be considered that you're wearing shatnez. So therefore, they came along and said, even a garment that you wear in the day, don't put tchelet on it, because gezerah that you might come to do kisut laila. So Rashi says, hold it. Do the rabbis have an ability to go against the Torah? Torah says, if you're wearing a garment in the day, Betel is telling you the Torah allows you to put, not allows you, Torah is telling you to put a tekelet. And then coming along to say, no, we're not going to put the tekelet. Why? Gezerah. I mean, the Torah says put tekelet. You're going to come down and stop me. You're going to go against the Torah. So that she gives us a rule that says what? Shev al ta'aseh shani. Meaning, you're right, Beit Din does not have the ability to go against the Torah law actively. When let's say the Torah says, don't do something, the rabbi will say, no, do it. That they can't do. But here they're telling you, be passive. They're telling you, in action, don't put sisit on that garment. So on a sheva al ta'aseh, on a gezerah that's a passive gezerah, they're able to make such gezerot. It's like tremendous power that the Tachamim wield. That they're telling you, that even over here, where the Torah says, do it, the rabbi is able to tell you, you know what, better don't do it, because you might lead to an avon. Shebal ta'aseh, just sit back. Don't put the strings on. So that bottom line, we see the story. Mechloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, even the halakha follows Beit Hillel, but they made a gezerah, atu kesut laila. Kesut laila is patur misisit min haTorah. If they're going to put the linen strings on it, the wool strings on it, that's going to be shatnez. Since there's no mitzvah sisit, they're going to be over shatnez min haTorah. In any way, you see the B'udah, but if I did take a hot bath before Shabbat. So therefore you see that must be a mitzvah. So that's Rava's proof. Comes the Gemara and says, V'tiznach b'shalom nafshi nashiti toba. This pasuk was written after the Chorban HaBayit, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. This pasuk actually in Echa. V'tiznach b'shalom nafshi, the prophet says, that peace was far from me, that is not mishalom nafshi, peace was far from me after the destruction, nashiti toba, I forgot goodness, I forgot good. So the Gemara says, my vet is not mishalom nafshi, what does it mean that shalom, peace was far from me? Amar Rav Huzu adlakat ner b'shabbat. This was referring to lighting the candles on Erev Shabbat, which after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they didn't even have oil. It was such a bad time that they didn't even have the materials in order to light Nerot Shabbat. And what did we say? Nerot Shabbat brings peace. Because when people can see each other, it brings peace. However, when there's darkness, people are tripping over each other and falling on each other, and that leads to Mahloket. So the pasuk says, V'tiznach mishalom nafshi, that's referring to that we lost the mitzvah of Nerot Shabbat, as we said. That she says, Shelo ayalo mimad adlik. Yeah, they did not have from what to light with. Ubimkom she'en ner en shalom. And when there's no light, there is no peace. Nashiti toba, the pasuk says, I forgot good things. Amar v'rmiya, zu bet ha-mirhas. This is referring to the pleasure of going to the bathhouse. Which means there was a certain pleasure, physical pleasure they would have, to go to the mirhas. And after the Chorban HaBayit, these minhatsaot did not exist anymore. And everybody says, we remember the good. We are nashiti toba, that's it. We remember the good days we used to have. We were able to go to the Beit HaMikdash. Comes the Gemara and says, we have a Girsa change over here in the name of the rabbi. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Zu rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim b'hamin. So no, this was referring to taking the hot bath Erev Shabbat. Seeing already they were deprived from that as well, that they weren't able to take any more hot baths after.
Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Zu Mitana'a. This is referring to a beautiful bed, Vekelim Na'im, and nice, let's say, quilts that are on it, and pillows, etc., Sha'aleh that are on it. Which means, it seems, after the Churban HaBayit, they didn't have that luxury anymore of, you know, the niceties of a nice bed and a nice room as such. Abba Amar Zu Mita Mutsat. This is referring to a made bed, set bed. The Isha Mekusheshet the Tamid Hachamim, and the wife of a Tamid Hacham that comes adorned to the husband. The Tamid Hachamim, the Gemara says in another place, have a mitzvah ona. They have a mitzvah to be with their wives. May Shabbat the Shabbat. After the Churban HaBayit already, they said that mitzvah already was forgotten, so to speak, the beauty of the lady that would come on Friday night, Mikushetet, to be with the husband, Nashiti Tova, that already mitzvah was abandoned. At the time of the Churban, there was no benefits like that as well. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ezehu Ashir, who is considered a rich man? Koshi Yeshto Nachat Ruach Be'oshro. So, Rabbi Meir. So, Rabbi Meir says anybody that has pleasure from his wealth. What does it mean? As she says, "Sameach b'chelko," which means he's happy whatever he has. Imeat, if he has a little, he's happy. If a lot, he's happy as well. Now, the Gemara's question is a little strange. You mean Ezu Ashir? What's the nafkamina? What kind of question is this? What's the practical application over here? So that she says, yes, nafkamina, that if a person wants to acquire wealth, he has to know how to acquire it. Which means nafkamina, if a person says, okay, I want to be ashir. Okay, so Rabbi Meir tells you, first of all, it's a state of mind. It does not depend on how much you have or how little you have. As long as a person is sameach b'chelko, he's happy with his lot. Comes again what says, Siman Matkas. The Siman for the next four Derashot is Mem Tet Kuf Samech. The first one is Mem. That was Rabbi Meir. The next one is Tet. That's Rabbi Tarfon that we're going to say right now. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ko Shiesh Lo Me'a Keramim. If a guy has 100 fields, Ume'a Sadot. 100, I'm sorry, Keramim is 100 vineyards. Ume'a Sadot and 100 fields. Ume'a Abadim, and he has 100 slaves, Sha'ovdim Bahim, that are working in his vineyards and his fields. That's already Ashirut. What does Rabbi Tarfon mean to say over here? Well, if a person has less than that, he's not going to have. So the Beit HaMidrash explains it like this. Some people think that Ashirut is assets, meaning how much a person could acquire, the more he acquires. So the Beit HaMidrash says, for those people that are under misconception that think acquiring assets and properties, that is going to give a person a feeling of Ashirut, it's not so. Because even if a person has 100 vineyards and 100 keramim and 100 abadim that are working on all these fields, ohev kesef, lo yisma kesef, that's not going to make him happy. He's going to want 100 more. So therefore, the Beit Tefon is saying it like the opposite. He's saying, anyway, even if a guy has 100 of these things, that cannot bring him true Ashir. Because he's going to want more. So he's really saying like the Bimir. The Bimir said the rule. Sameach b'chelko. That's the rule. So he said, yeah, if you're looking for wealth in things, you can have 100 and 100 and 100, and you're not going to be happy. That's the Bitarfon. Rabbi Akiva says, Ko shiyesh to isha na'a b'ma'asim. If a person has a good wife that is good in deeds and ways, that's already a rich man. What does it mean? So Maharsha says, some people think that Oshir is, let me make enough money in order to provide all the benefits and the pleasures and the luxuries for my wife. So the Maharsha says, if he thinks that's what Oshir is, it'll never end. Because if a lady is not haguna, she's not proper, she'll want more and she'll want more, and a person will never be able to make enough money in order to satisfy his wife. So therefore the Biakima says, what's the rich man? A man that has a wife that's proper and modest, and she's happy with the little, and she's good with in her ways, that already can bring you Oshir. But if you think Oshir is satisfying a wife that wants and wants and wants, you'll never make enough money. But therefore, Rabbi Akiva actually was talking about himself, because he married a daughter of a magnate, Kaba Sabua's daughter, Rachel. And she left, and she was willing to give up all the wealth in the world in order to live with Rabbi Akiva.
And the Midrash says in the beginning of their marriage they lived in dire poverty. So Rabbi Akiva says, this is wealthy. When you have a wife that accepts whatever the husband has, this considered they are rich. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Kol sheyesh lo bet hakiseh samuch leshulchano. Anybody that has a bathroom next to his table. What does it mean, a bathroom next to his table? So the way the Mefarshim explained, the Maharsha says like this, some people think wealth is that you should have enough money in order that if a person becomes sick, you'll have money to pay for your medical bills. That's it. What does a person need money for? If he ever gets sick, he can pay doctors, you know. So the Maharsha says, in the davar sof, if a person already is going to spend money on medicine and doctors, there's not enough money to spend on these things. The solution really is, don't get sick in the first place. That's a wealthy man, meaning a person that lives a healthy life. How does a person live a healthy life? In the olden days, if a person has a bathroom next to his table, it's very healthy, because he's able to relieve himself. The person doesn't relieve himself from the bit that he says, so he can get sick. So the rabbi's saying, fortunate is the owner, rich guy is. A rich guy is a guy who has a healthy lifestyle, therefore he never has to come to sickness. So therefore the Gemara gave altogether how many advice? We have Rabbi Meir's opinion, Sameach Bechalko. We have Rabbi Tarfon, if you're going to go after things, you're going to need a lot of things to make you happy. Oif Kesef, lo Yizmah Kesef. Rabbi Akiva says, a rich man is who has a good wife. And Rabbi Yosef says, a person that lives a healthy life. Bet ki says mukh shohano. Tanya Rabbi Shimon el Chazar Omer en madikin betzori. We're not allowed to use the oil called tzori oil for Friday night candles. Tzori is balsam. The Gemara says, my tama. What's the reason why you can't use the balsam? Amar Rabba mitok shelechon nodef. Has a very strong, pungent smell. A good smell. A good smell. So what are you worried about? Beautiful. What's the Chavot Shabbat? No. Gezra Shema Yistapik Miminu. We're worried that you might come to take from it. It's such a good smell, you might come to take from the oil on Shabbat. Now, if you take from the oil, what is it doing? You're extinguishing the fire. Extinguishing is forbidden on Shabbat. So here's the opposite. Because it's so good, you might come to use it. Amar le'Abaye, so Abaye comes along and says, Le'mamor mipinei shu'af. Why don't you say, because the vapor of the balsam oil is off, it rises up, and it goes, because I guess it's a tall flame, let's say, and it catches to the ceiling, and it can cause the building to go on fire. And then, the building's going to go on fire, you're going to be concerned that you might come to extinguish the fire on Shabbat. Which is, what do you give me the reason of that you might come to take it? Just say it might come to burn down the guy's house and it might come to extinguish that. So the Gemara says, Hada ve'od kama. You're right, we gave two reasons. One, plus another reason. Hada mipnei shu'af. Number one, because it's af, meaning it, the vapor of it, or the cloud of it, let's say, or the smoke, it goes up, it rises up against the wall, and it can burn the house. And furthermore, I guess the flame rises high, and it can hit the ceiling. And second reason that you might come to use it. Gemara tells a story. There was a certain mother-in-law, that she hated her daughter-in-law. Amra la. So the mother-in-law told the daughter-in-law, Zil go ikshit b'mishad defarsema. Go adorn yourself with the oil of the balsam. Shemina parsemon. So it says, Azla, she went, ikshit, and she put the balsam oil, the parsema, all over her body. Kiata, when she came back to her mother-in-law, meaning she was obedient, she listened, she came back to her mother-in-law, Amra la, so the mother-in-law said to Zil itle sharga, go light for me a ner, go light for me a fire. Azla, so she went, atla sharga, and she lit the fire in pach banura, and the fire caught onto her, v'achalta, and consumed her. She means the mother-in-law killed her daughter-in-law, meaning she set her up. It's very flammable, we just said. Didn't we say that the shemen, that tzori is flammable, can burn the whole house down? She said, go put on your body all this flammable stuff. She didn't know it was flammable. And then when she came home, she said, okay, do me a favor, could you light this match for me? And she went to light it, and all of a sudden it caught on her, v'achalta, and it consumed her. Baruch Amen, amen.